that they can live in both worlds. You cannot live in both worlds. You can be English, but you cannot be English citizen without being connected to being Jewish. In other words, either you are Jewish or you're English. There comes a day when you have to decide. When an English government decides tomorrow that a Jew has to do this and that, which an English guy doesn't have to do, or the other side, you have to decide. What am I? In other words, there comes the moment when you have to decide who you are. What are you? It's like, for example, man and woman. What are you? Are you a man or a woman? Today we have a problem. I'm not going to go through it, but there is a problem. It just shows us to where we can get with this. In other words, you have to decide what you are. You cannot be both, especially if one side is against the other side. It's like in Nazi Germany, to look right and left and think, from one side I'm a German, from the other side I'm Jew. So, what are you going to be? Are you going to be a Nazi? Or are you going to be a Jew?
They didn't give you a choice.
Let's say you give them a choice.
If you gave it a choice, yeah.
It's not easy.
If you believe in Hashem, then you change God.
There were quite a few Jews who voted for Hitler.
Well, that's a different story. I didn't know.
Because
that's exactly the big lesson here. That's what it says. By Yabet Koban, Moshe stands in this conflict. And he thinks to himself, 1 minute. Can I be both? Can I be an Egyptian who oppresses this nation, or and still be a Jew?
But you said he didn't know he was a Jew. He was in the palace.
He knew exactly he was a Jew. Of course he knew, but didn't have any connection.
He was a favorite son.
Yeah.
And his father taught him very well for the years that...
Moshe Rabbeinu knew...
No.
You understand. What was
a soul? He wasn't a baby.
No, we're talking about Moses, man.
Moses was
not Jewish.
Moses, okay. Moses knew he was a Jew.
His mother
took him and taught him. And if we have time, we'll talk for a few minutes about one of the big things in our parasha is that we see the power of women.
As well.
And no, because you see, a lot of people think that the Torah is like in the favor of men and not of women, which we all talked about in what it's a whole big rubbish nonsense. Because on the contrary, women in the Bible are sometimes much more important than the men. But that's not the issue. Everybody's got his job, and that's what it is. You have to do your job.
If your mother's Jewish, then you're Jewish.
Not only this, they said that Am Yisrael, we're talking about being saved of Egypt. The Midrash says, Biglal Nashim Tzidkaniyot Am Yisrael Nitzlu Mimitzrayim. In other words, the reason that we're saved from Egypt was not because of the man, but because of the women. That's what's written. Okay, now in our Pasha we see Batya and Yochevet, and we see Miriam. Here Batya is the daughter of Pharaoh. You know, Pharaoh says, every newborn is going to be killed. What is his daughter doing? His daughter.
She takes
a Jew and bring him
to the palace.
You know, this is
a miracle.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So in here, Moshe knows he's a Jew. And it's written that he knows. But now the problem is, when he's standing there, he has to decide. And if you think it's an easy decision,
no,
put yourself in his footsteps. And you tell me if it's easy.
It's not easy. It's very difficult.
It's very difficult. But this is Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu decides, I cannot be both. I have to decide what side I am. If I am deciding to be Egyptian, I'm going to be Egyptian to the end. But if I'm going to be Jew, I'm going to be a Jew to the end. So what does he decide?
He
takes the Egyptian inside him and buries him in the sand. And from this day on, he is 100% Jewish. Yes.
They didn't worry about it. They looked for the man, or they were they suspicious of it? Did they worry about the man that was killed? Did they look for him?
Of course they looked for him. They wanted to kill him.
To kill Moses.
Yes, yeah. But they didn't. Couldn't.
No, so he ran away.
He ran away.
No.
That's why he ran away. Otherwise,
someone had tinseltailed on him.
It's one of the funny thing is that the next day is going out because he thinks one of the simplest ways is Vayabet Kova Hovayarken. He says that he looks if somebody sees what he's doing. Forget the explanation we talked about. Now we're going to a different explanation. He's looking around. In a simple way, as we said, there is the Torah, the outside and the inside, and the inside. But now let's put it the simple. What is the Torah telling us? He sees what's happening. He looks around and he sees there is nobody. So then he kills the Egyptian. Now there is nobody there that saw what's happening.
Except God.
But then the next day, he sees two people fighting, Hebrew people. And he says to one of them, Rasha, lama take re'echa? Rasha, why do you hit your friend? And what is this Rasha answering him? Ala argeni ata omer kmo sha'arakta ta mitzri? What, you're going to kill like you killed the Egyptian? So Moshe says, achen oda adavar. So Moshe realized that everybody knows about it. But the interesting is, if there was nobody there, if there was nobody there, how did he see this guy, what was happening?
Well, one Jew was there because he was hitting
the one who was being hit was there, and he's the only one who saw what's happening. In other words, in this explanation, what does it say? An interesting thing. The Jew that Moshe Rabbeinu saved is the one who is talking against Moshe the next day. And he's the one who runs to Pharaoh and tells him what happened.
This is not a story.
It's not a story. It's a lesson for us to understand and realize how the world functions.
But there's another explanation. I suppose it's a poetic license. When he said there was no man, it didn't mean that there weren't people. It says there was nobody who would stand up. There wasn't a real man who would stand up to what was going on.
No, there are so many explanations. One of them is why Ken Ish, he didn't care about who sees it or doesn't see it. In other words, there would be maybe a crowd there. But his only worry was that this guy that he's killing, maybe one of his children or great children is going to be a man, a tzaddik. Vayar Ken Ish, yotze mimenu. Because he sees that there is nobody from this. He looked in with Ruach HaKodesh, whatever you call it, and he saw that this guy, nobody good is going to come out of him. So then he decided to kill him. In other words, Vayar Ki En Ish doesn't mean there was nobody around. He looked, if this guy has got a potential that one of his, he looked in the future. If somebody has got a potential in the future of this guy that is going to be a tzaddik or whatever.
Because Moses wasn't an ordinary man.
The Egyptian you're talking about.
Yes. Yes. You see, we're talking about Egyptian, Greek, Italian. At that time, they didn't get the Torah yet.
So he was worried that he might kill someone
something good come out of it.
Important person.
Somebody good come out of it.
Something like Korach, is it not? If they said that, where do they hear that? Like Korach, why was he killed? He had some legitimacy. He wasn't Korach.
Yeah, Korach thought. Korach himself saw that. They say Moshe v'Aaron beKohanav uShmuel beKorei Shmo. Shmuel is one of the ancestors. Is one of stories. One of the children of Korach.
Right.
So he saw Shmuel Anavi in the same level of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. Moshe v'Aaron beKohanav uShmuel beKorei Shmo. In other words, Shmuel is from his, comes from him. In other words, he's going to survive. Not so clever because he had children. You know why? It doesn't mean you can survive. Your children can survive. And what happened in the end? He didn't survive, but his children survived. But never, you know, when you want something, you don't look at the whole picture. You look at what you want to look. You look at what you want to see. And that's what Korach did. He looked at what he wanted. So somebody good comes out of me. So it doesn't mean I'm not going to be killed. I'm not going to die. But unfortunately, didn't do the calculation to the end. Anyway, here we see, talking a few words about the heroic of the women in the Parsha. So we can see, for example, first of all, the two midwives. They are being told by Pharaoh to kill the children. They don't kill them. They go against the order of Pharaoh, and they go also and stand in an investigation that is investigating them. Why did they do what they did? And nevertheless, they also give them food, and they answer. And they give him answer. They don't care about what he's saying. They're not afraid of him. They're afraid only from God.
They got away with it.
I'm saying, because they were very clever.
Yeah.
Because they said, till we time we come, he says the Jewish women are like animals. They don't need a midwife. They do it like animals. Just the baby comes and that's it.
So he asked them. Some people say they were Egyptian.
No, what we're saying is Shifra and Pua are Egyptian names. If you look, all the ministers, all somebody was in a high rank in Egyptian, he used to have a letter from the name of Pharaoh. And this was with Potiphar, which was the one who bought Joseph, was escort two pays. Joseph was called by Pharaoh Tzofnat Paaneach, which is also two pays. He kept his name because in his name is a pay, Yosef, so he could keep his name. His son, the second son, is called Ephraim, with a pay. In other words, everybody was a prince or in a high level in Egypt, he had a pay. So what did Pharaoh do? Pharaoh came to those two ladies, like telling them he loves them. And because of this, he gives them a royalty. You give them a title, like in England, you give a sir or a lord or a lady or whatever. So there, he told them, "You are going to be now
Pua
with a pay, which means you are now part of my kingdom, and the other one." Shifra. Oh, what a bird. And he thought that with this he's buying them. Because to think about this, wow, a king like this, such a great king of Egyptian is giving me a title, so I must pay him back something. So what is he asking I'm going to do? That didn't work. And they were very clever telling him, because what was happening, not only they didn't kill them, they also provide them with food and things to help them to raise the kids, the babies. So he asked them, why did you bring food and things like this? Okay, you tell, till you came, they were already born. Okay, but tell me, why did you give them food? He says, you see, we couldn't come with nothing. They would suspect that something is wrong. So we came with all the good intention, with food and things, to show them that we come as friendly and to help them. And then, but when we came, they already gave birth. So we couldn't do anything, but we left the food. We couldn't take the food back. So he says, what can you do? He thought that him, like giving them this title, they're in his hand. He didn't even think for a minute that he doesn't buy them.
So they were Israel, they were
Hebrew, but the names were Egyptian.
Right.
This way, you have it in Miriam, because otherwise, why do we really use this strange name?
They were Jewish.
You will hear lectures about this and about that. Yes. We have what we call Shivim Panim LaTorah. I like to think this is most of the Midrashim and more, and even Rashi himself on the spot says it's Yocheved and Miriam. That's no doubt about it. And it makes sense, because what Jewish lady will give a Goya to come and be the midwife? Especially in a place where they tell you to kill the children. Anyway, that's not the end of it. Miriam is coming to her father, because when her father read this new law that every male born is going to be killed, he thought to himself, if this is the case, I'm going to divorce my wife, because there is no reason to bring children to this world if they're going to be killed. So Miriam comes to him, and he is the Gdol Ador. He is the, let's say, the tzaddik of the door. No, the father of Moshe, Amram. So she comes to her father and confronts him and tells him, your Gezerah is worse than Pharaoh. Now imagine yourself, a child coming to her father, which is Gdol Ador, telling him a thing like this. says Paro Gazar al Ascharim. Vata Zachar Gazar al Ascharim Anikvot. Paro says only the males, and you are going to kill also the females, because if you're not, if you're sending your wife away and there are not children, no children, also no females. So you are, your Gzera is much much worse than Pharaoh. And then another interesting thing: Pharaoh said to kill only in this world, but you are killing them also in the next world. What does it mean? A neshama, in order to get to the next world, has to come to this world. Because if it doesn't come to this world, it cannot go to the next world. So in other words, she told her father, if you are not going to bring children, those neshamas who had to go down, even for 2 minutes, still they're going to have Olam Haba. And not, never think what Olam Haba has got a soul that did nothing wrong in this world. An unbelievable Olam Haba. So in other words, you are worse than Pharaoh. So he listens to her and he takes his wife back. Unbelievable. Doesn't end. Miriam then, when Moshe is born, she goes to the river where all the kids are being thrown. And you have to imagine the picture. You see the river with all those bodies. And in those bodies, you have this small box with Moshe. And Miriam is looking there to see what's going to happen. And then the daughter of Pharaoh comes and takes him. Who would dare to approach the daughter of Pharaoh in a situation like this? But she did.
Miriam.
She did. And from the other side, look at the daughter of Pharaoh. She is called Batya, the daughter of God. A Goya, and not only a Goya, the daughter of Pharaoh himself is taking a Jewish boy and saving him and taking him to the palace to live with her father, Pharaoh.
She's taking him for herself. She saw he was special, and she wasn't doing it because she wanted to save him. It was for herself. She knew it was a Jewish girl. Yeah. She wanted for herself. She wanted to bring him up as her son.
Wow. What? She couldn't have children.
Because he was so he was so special to look at, and to She wanted, every woman has that type of, not every woman, most women.
Yeah, but, think, but what you're saying is all, is only, you see, what God is doing sometimes is helping us to make the right decision. But at the end of the day, we're talking about the daughter of Pharaoh, and she knows that
she's going against,
she's going against let's say, one of the laws of Egypt, which are so strict about it, and she is bringing him to the palace. You know, if she would hidden him, I can understand. And also, still, she is doing a good thing, but she didn't hid him. She took him and she raised him in the palace of Pharaoh. And also, for a woman to decide to become Jewish, because she become Jewish. But yeah. Which is also a very strange thing.
There was no such thing as Jewish. Using the wrong word.
To become a part of the Ivrim.
Right.
Ivrim in Bet, yes? Not Ivrim in Va. So, this is Batya and Miriam and Yocheved, which is just to show us that you see here women doing those great things. That is another lesson here with Batya. Batya says, "Batishlach et amata." Amata in Hebrew can be a few things. Ama, a slave girl, and ama is also the part of the hand. So one of the explanations says she sent her slave girl to bring Moshe from the, because it's not for her to do a thing like this, but then, another explainer said, she saw the thing and she wanted to put her hand, and the hand was getting longer and longer, and she got it. What this Midrash wants to tell us? What is this magic thing? The Midrash wants to tell us a very important lesson. Sometimes in life, we're standing in front of something that looks big, far away from us. And what do we say? We cannot do this. I can't do it. We can't preach it. So the Torah is telling us, look at Batya, the daughter of Pharaoh, wanting to save this kid
so badly
that she sent her hand knowing she cannot reach it. But because she wanted so bad, God did a miracle and she managed to do it. Stretch her hand. In other words, if we believe in God and we have something good to do,
then everything is...
Of course, everything is belief. So if we believe in God and we want to do something good, that on the surface it looks that we haven't got the power to do it. And by the way, it happens so much. And not only about religious things. And all the fields of life, sometimes we see something, we think, it's not reachable. We cannot do this. But we look around and you will see people that try and they did it.
Yeah.
And that's a big lesson for us. Don't say, I can't do it. Try. God is going to help you.
No such word as can't. You don't want to.
There is a lot to talk about our parsha. The main thing is to understand that when we read the stories, it's not only a story, it's much more than a story. It's to telling us the way to live and it's telling us also sometimes what's going to happen. Unfortunately, in Germany, didn't read this parsha properly. And a lot of the Jews stayed in Germany instead of living it. There were Jews that were living it. And by the way, talking about great women, I consider also my grandmother as one of those great women. Because my grandfather didn't want to live.
She told him,
you have to live. You cannot stay here. And this is just to show us that we have powers and God is there looking at us and helping us. And even if we're in the worst situation, look at what's happening in our parsha. The problem starts when we want to be like the goyim. If we understand and realize that we are the Jewish nation, we have to keep to ourselves, we can help the whole world if we keep to ourselves and do what God wants us to do. But if we start mixing with the goyim, unfortunately what happened in Egypt, bad things are happening. Because God says...
What's going to happen in America?
It's not funny. It's not funny. What's happening is that's why we're here. That's why the God sent us here to start this country to save Am Israel. This is a part of God's plan.
That's why
we got here before the time.
Yeah.
But the same thing has happened in Egypt, that he saved them before the time. So also God here decided, you know what, I see what's happening here. They are going to be integrated in all those societies where they are. So I'm going to start a new thing here. And he brought us here to Eretz Israel. Sometimes I don't like people think, we wait for the Mashiach to take us to Eretz Israel. I'm sorry to tell you, God brought us here. Because nothing happens without God wanting it to happen. So it doesn't matter who it was that started this country. If it was a religious guy or a not religious guy, it doesn't matter. Because God wanted it to happen and it happened. And this is Eretz HaKodesh. And we started a country, a state. And the state with all the bad things, it's got also a lot of good things. And this is Atchalta de Geula. And God brought us here in order for us, each one of us, to do the good in the eyes of God. Of course there are others that don't do the good. So what? This is our job. Moshe Rabbeinu also, he was one guy that saved Am Israel. And there were, if you think, when we will come to the point, Hamushim Yatsu, only 20% got out of Egypt. But those 20% built Am Israel. In other words, okay, unfortunately we have a lot of Jews that leave the folk and they go to the other side, but we are still here.
Yeah.
And we are going to keep the flame. Because those 20%, they built this country. They built the Jewish nation.
Thank you.
Amen.